The First Testament lesson comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 4, starting at verse 1. When Moses answered, "But suppose that they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake, and Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail." So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." He put his hand into his cloak, and when he took out his hand was leprous, as white as snow. Then God said, "Put your hand back in your cloak." So he put his hand back in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his body. If they will not believe you or heed the first sign, they may believe the second sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or heed you, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. The word of the Lord.
Our New Testament text has us continuing in the Gospel of Matthew. We are in the 10th chapter, looking at verses 5 through 15. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. These 12, meaning the disciples that Pastor Bethany spoke of last week, Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." The word of the Lord. So what do we do with this Jesus? I have to say, this is not a Jesus that I like. In fact, I don't like this Jesus at all. He seems to be the exact opposite of the Jesus that I like. This Jesus is not inclusive. He is exclusive. "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans." He wants us to do Moses-like miracles. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, sort of like Moses with the snake stick in his hand that goes into his cloak and comes out of his cloak. Miracles for people to see. He doesn't want us to be prepared for our work. "Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts," meaning don't take anything to pay for what you do along the way. "No bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff." We're to be unprepared. And finally, he just sounds judgmental. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. So what are we supposed to do with this Jesus? How are we to understand these words that seem so opposite from what we read about 3 or 4 weeks ago in the Great Commission in the 28th chapter of this same book, the Gospel of Matthew? Well, the answer, interestingly enough, I think comes in the words that almost all of us have heard from airline attendants. That's right, airline attendants. So, I'm going to look for the hands out there that I can't see. How many of you have ever flown on an airplane? All right, so my guess is most of us have flown on an airplane. And we all know the drill. We get settled in, and the attendants stand in the aisles, and they go through this routine, right? That everyone needs to buckle their seat belts, that you open the flap and you put the tab in, and then you tuck it tight around your waist. They have the little things, then they put those aside, and then they talk about the fact that there are exits, and they go, there are forward exits, and there are exits over the wings, and there are rear exits. And then they put the vest on, and they talk about the vest, and you strap it around your waist, and you pull on the tab to inflate it, and if it doesn't inflate, you blow into the little tube. And then they say, this cabin, something to this effect, the cabin is pressurized. Should we lose pressure, a mask will drop from the ceiling, and they have this little mask in their hand that drops, and you put it over your nose and mouth and breathe normally. But here's the part that we really need to hear. If you are traveling with a child or someone who needs assistance when this happens, put the mask on yourself first before helping anyone else. Put the mask on yourself first before helping anyone else. This is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the fact that the children of Israel need to put the mask on themselves. They need to be healed before they can go out and heal others. They need to be made well before they can go out and proclaim the kingdom of God to the world. The children of God, the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they had been given a mission. And the mission was to bless all the nations of the world, all creation, all men and women. But what Jesus tells his disciples is that the children of Israel are lost. He says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That the people of God had sort of wandered off. They had wandered off into oppression, into fear, into anger, into vengeance, into prejudice, into hatred of the Romans. They were not healthy enough to go out and do the mission that God had called them to do. And so the disciples were to go to them first because they were the ones that needed to put the mask of God's beloved kingdom, of God's peace and justice, on themselves first before they could go out and give it to anyone else in the world. All of the miracles that the disciples were intended to do, they were miracles that were to say, look, the kingdom of God has come upon you. You're being healed and being made new. They were not to take anything with them because they were to demonstrate that they had total trust in God, that God would care for them, and that this was the kind of trust that the children of God needed to fulfill this mission, this trust that God would bring peace and justice to the world. And the judgment at the end, it was a warning that if the children of Israel were not willing to be healed, to put the mask on themselves, then bad things would happen, which is indeed what happened about 40 years after the death of Christ. And so they were to heal themselves first so that they could carry out this amazing mission of peace and justice to all of creation. And my friends, that's what we are called on to do as well. For you see, a couple of weeks ago we talked about our mission. And our mission was to bring peace and justice to the world, especially racial justice in this moment in the life of our nation. But the problem is, in many ways, though we may not see it, we too are lost. And so part of what we need to do is we need to put the mask of Christ's healing on us. We need to dive deep into our own selves and become well so that we can reach out to those around us, bringing peace and justice. And for those of us who are white, the way we need to do this is that we need to spend time delving deeply within ourselves, sort of in a process of self-discovery, to look at our own sort of hidden biases and prejudices. We need to look deeply into the privileges that come with being white. We need to be healed. I mean, it begins with us before we can go out there. And so what the Diversity and Justice Committee of this church is inviting everyone in this church to do is to begin this process of self-discovery. And let me say, this process of self-discovery is not about making people feel guilty. It has no political agenda. It is an invitation for each of us to look within ourselves and discover things that we may not know about ourselves, things we have thought and believed that are sort of hidden away. And they're inviting you to do this by coming together as a community to read a book called White Picket Fences. And it's by an author named Amy Julia Becker. And it's a rather easy dive into this. It's an easy way to begin this process of putting the mask on ourselves and of self-discovery. And you're invited to get the book, read it, and become part of a discussion group. And on the website this morning, if you go back to the website, you will find a link on the front page. It says White Picket Fences. If you click on that, it'll take you to a page describing the book, a link to purchase the book, and then a way to sign up, either to be just part of one of the discussion groups or to lead one of the discussion groups. We're still looking for leaders to help lead these groups. Probably the groups will meet no more than 3 times. There are discussion guides for this. But I think this is an important first step. If we want to go out and help heal the world, we need to heal ourselves first. Because one of the things Bryan Stevenson, again, the author of Just Mercy, said in an interview is the way we begin this process is by telling the truth. Telling the truth about our history, telling the truth about ourselves. And that when we begin to tell the truth, he calls it recognition, then we can move from recognition on into the process of repentance and repair, and then ultimately perhaps into reconciliation. And so I invite you. I invite you to be part of this dive into our own selves so that we might discover and be healed and learn and grow. And so that's my challenge to you, that as you come to the table today and you look at what Christ did for us, that Christ gave his life for all of us, that we might be made new, that you would pray about going through this process, reading this book. And this is just the first of several books we're going to ask you to read and think about and talk about, to go through this process and discover more deeply who you are and how you, how I, can be a faithful brother and sister in Christ to all people. Let us pray. Gracious God, be with us. Heal us, open our eyes, open our hearts, and help us to discover about ourselves what we may not know, that we might indeed be brothers and sisters in Christ to all people, to people of color, so that we might indeed show your love. In Christ's name, amen.